5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Warning. On this podcast, we take the cases seriously, but not ourselves.
Although, we may attempt to lighten the mood at times.
Our episodes contain graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Blank.
What?
Flank.
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 Okay.
Do you not remember, a few months ago now, we had about a 10 to 15 minute conversation about flank.
Flank?
About flank, yeah.
No.
We had different opinions on what the word meant.
Right, to me?
Yeah.
You're doing an impersonation of someone deaf and with a lisp.
So I think what happened was I had a pain in me side. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a flank. Like a cramp. And I said, I've got a pain in me flank. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like, what is that? What do you mean? It like in me side, in me flank. And you're like, that's not what flank means. And you had a completely different definition for flank than I did.
What did I say?
I don't know. I can't remember. That's why I'm bringing it up now.
What the fuck is that?
I do not fucking know.
It started. Seriously, what the fuck were that?
I do not know.
I'm leaving that in.
I thought we were. That was a lot.
Listeners, explain. What was that? Flank.
Flank.
I had an explanation for what flank means.
Yeah, I said flank is the side of your body, I thought. Like specifically relating to an animal. And then I also had in my head that it was very specifically referencing the side of a horse's neck. Well, not necessarily the side, but a horse's flank. A horse's neck is a flank.
I don't remember this
at all. I don't think that's correct. I think I might be wrong on that one. But I'm pretty sure flank is your side. Hence, I had a pain in me flank.
I have no idea what mine would have been. But it just sounds like I said, you're doing an impersonation of someone deaf and they have a lisp.
Do you have one now?
Yeah.
So how do you know it's not the same one as back then? Do you just pull it out of your arse?
Because mine now is that you're doing an impersonation of someone who's deaf and they have a lisp.
Doing a flank.
Yeah, like they're trying to say Frank.
Flank steak. Does that make sense? Coming from the side of the ant, like the type, the cut of meat. Flank.
I've never heard this word.
Flank. I got a pain in me flank.
And that means in the side of your body.
Ooh, I've got an awful, awful cramp in me flank.
In your side?
Yeah.
So why don't you say side? Side shorter than flank.
I think at the time I deliberately used the word flank because I thought it was funny.
Yeah, you wanted to trigger me.
Probably, yeah.
Knowing I wouldn't know what it means.
It worked, because I swear it was about a 10 to 15 minute conversation about flank. Like, I mean, about a good 10 minutes before either of us picked up our phone to just look up the definition.
How long ago was this?
I'd say 2 months ago, maybe.
2 months?
Yeah.
I don't remember what I said in the last episode last week.
It was a very long conversation, Neil. I thought it would have stuck in your mind. Flank.
Well, I can't argue with you. Okay, it means your side.
We're at work. Does that help?
No.
Flank, what, Neil. Flank.
What was we doing at work?
Nothing much, if I'm honest with you. Hence why we had the time to discuss flank.
Right.
Flanks.
Was anyone else present?
I'm not sure. Someone may have come or gone during the flank discussion.
Just turned on the reels and walked off as soon as they heard it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Either that or they gave or attempted to give their definition and we went, don't be so fucking ridiculous, and continued on our debate. That's also very likely.
Right.
Flank.
Flank. Well, for anyone who didn't know, you've taught them something.
No, no, I may not have. I may be getting it wrong.
So you don't know sides flank?
No, I'm pretty sure it is, but I wouldn't bet me life on it.
So can I just ask?
It sounded right at the time, pain in me flank.
Right. So can I just ask, why was you arguing with me for 10, 15 minutes if you didn't know if it's correct?
It's not that I was arguing for me to be right. It was arguing that you were wrong.
Right. Okay. Because that's more important. Right.
I'm pretty sure the side thing, or, you know, something there is right. The horse's flank, I don't know if that's right.
Are you sure you're not getting mixed up with rump for ass?
No, I don't think so. No, because I'm talking about a horse's neck. That was the one that I was really unsure of, but I kept fighting.
Why is it just an horse's neck?
A horse's flank. What?
Why is it just a horse's neck?
I don't know. I think, like I said, I think a flank is a
giraffe's
maybe
neck.
It is. A giraffe's flank.
Does a giraffe not have a flank?
I mean, I suppose it does.
What about a fucking zebra?
Yeah, it would be quite similar to a horse.
It's very... Donkey.
Yes, again.
So they have a flank?
Yeah, a donkey's flank.
Right, okay. Yeah. Right, well, we'll move on because we're not going to get anywhere because you just admitted that you don't know.
I'm correct. Not entirely sure, no.
Yeah, so what... Can you just answer me this? What was the point?
I thought you'd remember...
A pointless conversation.
Your flank argument, your stance on flank. And I thought we could talk about it. I thought it was going to kind of trigger you. We could talk about it again. And then our listeners can jump in and actually explain what a flank is.
But I'm not going to remember it. It's never come up.
I don't even... Because we did look it up at the time and I can't fully remember what it was. I think flank is a few different...
But then you decided to bring it to the episode.
Yes.
And you haven't even done your research.
No, because it's a starter. I don't feel like it has to be research if it's just bullshit like this. It's not like when you come in claiming some wildly inaccurate shite.
So let me just this scenario.
This is a bit of fun.
Let me just put this scenario to you.
Okay.
So one of our listeners is listening to an episode, this episode, and we're having this discussion about flank.
Yeah, flank.
Right? Their daughter idolizes every word what comes out of your mouth. So then they go to school going, I learned a new word, flank.
Flank.
The teacher tells them they're wrong and the rest of the class bully them for the rest of the year. How are you going to feel?
What?
Yeah.
Well, no, because I want them to hear the word, like, I've never heard that word before, and then go and learn. Don't listen to me.
Children do not do that.
I did as a kid.
I took everyone's word as gospel when I was a kid.
Like your parents and stuff. And then you become an adult and you realise they are chatting a hell of a lot of shit. You only go, Mammy, why this? Why that? You know, how does this work? Well, and they just say stuff.
I know of a lot of listeners who hang on to every word you say. So then they could be teaching their kids and then getting twatted at school by other youths because they got a word wrong.
I think you're reading too much into it.
They're as cruel as they are clever at school.
They are. They really are. Can someone sign up to Patreon and have your username be Flank? I really want to give that shout out now.
But you're not going to give that shout out?
Yes, I will.
No, because we give them another name.
Horse's neck. Possibly donkeys.
Donkey's neck. Well, speaking of Patreon, we've actually got a Patreon shout out to do.
We do indeed.
So this... I was going to get it then.
No, you weren't.
Yes, I was. So this week we have Rendy and Bechtel.
I believe so.
We've done as much research as
Rendy
we can.
Rendy and Bechtel.
Rendy.
Leche.
Now, I was giving up on this one.
We got old Ren over there.
And then as we walked in and I looked at the board, it just came to me.
It did. It really did. His eyes lit up.
Bendy and rectal.
Brilliant. Fabulous.
So, bendy arse. Rectal's arse, innit?
Yes.
I've asked this before, I think. Yeah, so bendy arse.
Bendy arse?
Yeah. I don't know what that means, but...
I'm not quite sure. I kind of like bendy and rectal. Just like, there's the two.
A bendy rectal. There we go, a bendy rectal. If you don't like arse...
You don't actually need to tell us about your medical issues and on Patreon. That's not necessary.
And the best bit is, when we send out the Patreon packet, I'm going to put on the envelope, bendy rectal, and then their address. So the postman is going to deliver that post to bendy rectal.
And the hilarious thing is, with the conversation we've just had, if I don't even know what a fucking flank is, I can't help you with your bendy rectal.
Yeah, we might put that as the middle name. Bendy flank rectal.
And then in brackets, issues.
So thank you, bendy rectal.
We appreciate yous. Lads, if you want to support the podcast, you can also head on over to Patreon and get your episodes early, ad-free, as well as some bonus content. If not, if you don't want to make that commitment, completely understand, feel free to leave us a rating review. It really, really does help the podcast. And yeah, we appreciate you.
Ooh. Welcome to the Bellwitch Podcast, a show that covers the infamous legend of the historic Bellwitch haunting in southern United States in the 19th century, where the Bell family experienced frightening happenings within their home. Hang on a second. No, that's the wrong Bell Witch. This is a podcast about being a witchy pagan in the 21st century, airing bi-weekly, with different guests on each month sharing their pearls of wisdom and gems of knowledge from their very own witchy businesses. I call it a moot loot. Here we cover a wide range of pagan and witchcraft related topics, from sigils, spells and spirits to Reiki rituals and pagan parenting while camping in the bell tent named Delilah. It's got nothing to do with the Bell Witch from the 19th century in Tennessee that scared people to death in a little townhouse, which may or may not be true. Pretty cool story, but yeah, it's the wrong Bell Witch. This Bell Witch podcast is brought to you by Swales, the friendly green witch from Leeds, UK. A northern witch with a strong Yorkshire accent, a love of all things weird, spooky, magical, and a smelly dragon named Dave. So tune in every 2 weeks for a sprinkling of Yorkshire magic. Listen to the Bell Witch podcast with me, Swales, a friendly green witch, wherever you get your podcasts.
Right, shameless plug out of the way. What you got for us today?
Today, Neil, we are going to be talking about a specific type of assault. We're going to be talking about acid attacks.
Most of them in Ireland.
I had a feeling you would make that claim again.
Because we don't do that in the UK.
Do you not?
No. It's a very Irish thing.
Is it?
Chuck acid in your face.
That's what we say, isn't it?
I think there were one not long back in America as well. Over at McDonald's, I think.
Well, you're going to learn today.
Okay.
All right. So what is an acid attack? An acid attack is a type of violent assault where acid or another form of corrosive substance is thrown at a person with the intent to injure, torture or kill. And it is mostly perpetrated against women and girls. Quite often the intent is to disfigure women and girls as so much importance is placed on their physical appearance. According to ActionAid.org, there are approximately 1,500 attacks a year. These attacks are most prevalent in South Asian countries like India, Pakistan and Bangladesh, as these acids are inexpensive and easily accessible.
So the attack is racial and sexist?
What do you mean by racial?
Because you said the victims are mainly Indians and Pakistanis.
No, mainly within these countries.
Oh. It's still a sexist attack.
Yes.
Yeah.
These attacks are quite often the result of a woman or girl refusing marriage or sexual advances. ActionAid stated that in many of these attacks, the perpetrator aims to disfigure the person in an attempt to use the scarring as a mark of shame. So, what substances are used? Sulfuric and nitric acid seem to be the most commonly used in these attacks. But where these substances are not readily available, ammonia has also been used.
Pneumonia?
Ammonia.
So?
Like what you'd use in bleach.
Oh, okay.
What's in piss?
What?
Ammonia's in piss.
Oh, that's why cats' piss stinks. It's the pneumonia.
Well, we have ammonia in our urine as well.
Okay.
These types of acids may be dangerous, but because they wouldn't necessarily be classed as weapons as such, laws around purchasing these substances and these types of attacks can be weak and flawed. The executive director of the ASTI, Acid Survivor Trust International, said that more focus is needed on the prevention of acid attacks, similar to the attention which is paid to gun and knife crime. Quote, "While there are laws in place that restrict access to corrosive substances, the growing number of offences shows that the government and businesses must tighten the enforcement of the regulations and do more to stop corrosive substances being weaponised to cause devastating harm."
I know it's not part of this episode, but you know, you just mentioned guns. I forgot to tell you this. A teenager in Sheffield has just been arrested in possession with a Glock. How are Glocks getting into Sheffield now?
Gangs.
Yeah.
It'll be a kid who's recruited by a gang.
Yeah.
I would imagine. I haven't heard this story, allegedly. Now, let's take a look at some statistics.
There we go.
In the space of a year, the UK saw a 75% increase in attacks involving acid and other corrosive substances, although only 8% led to charges or a summons.
Right. So, first off, I want to know how many of the people who threw the acid in the UK was called McCormick, Fitzpatrick, Fitzgerald, Murphy, O'Doyle, fucking O'Boyle. Any Irish names?
Are you seriously want to keep with this narrative?
Yeah, because
do you really want to?
Yeah, because a lot of Irish move over to the UK, usually criminals. So it may as well be them who are the ones throwing the acid, allegedly.
Of the 1,244 recorded offences, 454 were physical attacks, and 790 were alleged to have been used to aid another offence, such as sexual assault. But something that might surprise you. In the UK, it is largely male-on-male attacks, a lot of the time relating to gang violence. Although women and girls are increasingly becoming victims of these attacks.
How do you get your hands on acid?
Well, this is the thing. In the UK, it's not as easy to get your hands on. So, like I said, things like ammonia will be used in place.
Right.
Whereas in some other countries, like the ones listed, like India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, it's easier, it's more accessible to get these corrosive substances.
Right.
Francisco Figueiredo, a professor of ophthalmology at Newcastle University, said, quote, "Over the last 5 years, there's been a concerning rise in the incidence of acid attacks, especially in the northeast of England. 80% of the victims are young Caucasian males, and 90% of them are not reported to Northumbria Police. Ammonia is the most common chemical used in the northeast of England area. Using noxious chemicals to cause harm and ocular harm in particular is becoming a popular mode of assault in the UK, and is a serious medical and social concern which requires further investigation to be able to increase public awareness, implement stricter regulations, better surveillance and means of prevention, as well as to provide adequate support to the victims." Now, the reason why this is particularly important to note is that the majority of the victims we're seeing are young, male, predominantly white.
Mm.
And yes, these types of attacks may be an issue in South Asian countries, particularly relating to women and girls. But of course, that does not mean that the majority of these attacks within the UK are perpetrated by Asian men or so-called honour attacks, contrary to what many people choose to believe.
That would be an easy rumour to start.
It seems to be that's what people, that's the association people have.
Yeah.
And in relation to this, statistics released by London's Metropolitan Police showed that within a 15-year period, there is only one alleged honour attack.
What's it mean by honour attack?
So if a woman has rejected a man and right. they choose to disfigure her.
Okay.
Now, Neil.
Yeah?
I was going to say, I don't know if you remember, but not long back, we had a conversation in which I said it seemed that acid attacks were becoming more of a concern within the UK. You then baselessly claimed that Ireland was way worse than the UK for acid attacks.
Yeah.
Now, I was going to trigger your memory there. I don't even need to do that. You've come in strong trying to say Ireland is this, it's that, oh, acid attacks.
Yeah. I've seen
it. It's not a thing in Ireland.
I've seen it.
It is very... No, you haven't seen it. Where have you seen it?
Don't laugh. I saw it on Love Hate.
No. When did this happen in Love Hate? I'm not saying it didn't. I don't remember this happening in Love Hate. And that's a TV show. Fictional.
He says something like, you do that again, you fat bitch, and I'll throw acid in your face.
No, threatened to do that. You keep saying they showed an
acid
attack.
And then I think
they
cut her hair off.
Yeah, they cut her hair off.
Yeah.
By the way, Love Hate's a great show. Go watch it if you haven't already. That's fiction. And it didn't even happen. There was a threat of it in the show.
Yeah, but they're portraying like Irish gangsters. They've got the idea from somewhere.
Maybe from UK gangsters. Neil, do you see, like, you make this wildly inaccurate claim. You not only downplay the severity of this issue in the UK, but then try to propagate that it's an issue in Ireland.
Well, I lived in the UK for 26 years and I'd never heard of an acid attack.
Okay, how about this? Per capita, the UK ranks among one of the highest in the world for acid attacks. Between 2007 and 2011, about 50 men and 50 women a year were attacked. Were attacked.
Were they?
About 50 men and 50 women a year were attacked. Over the years that followed, the number of men being attacked has increased. And in 2016, 352 men were victims of these kinds of attacks. And that year, men also made up 77% of the suspects. Women perpetrating these attacks has dropped over the years, and the number of unknown attackers has increased, which again would lead us back to gang-related violence.
At least it's not as sexist. You've even got women chucking the acid.
Well, that's decreasing.
It's decreasing, but it's there.
The point is, it's predominantly men on men.
Yeah. In the UK.
Well, because we get this argument a lot with any type of violent thing. You know, when people say about, like, you know, violence against women.
Yeah.
You know, and you'll hear this argument thrown back. They go, well, actually, more men are attacked by men. It's like, okay, so what you're telling me is men are still the one perpetrating.
Yeah.
It's still men doing the bad things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So now, if I get into an argument with a woman and she's like, we've got it worse than you, I'm more likely to get acid in my face.
What?
If I got into an argument with a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she's giving it the big one. She's like, us women have got it worse off overall than you men. I can go, well, actually, statistically, I'm... What are you laughing at?
Go on, yeah.
I can't say that word.
Yeah,
the stats say
yeah.
that I'm more likely to get acid lobbed in my face.
But again, you're completely missing the point by making it like us versus them. Thing. We should all be concerned about anyone getting hurt.
Obviously.
But you've just tried to make it a competition.
No, she did.
No.
She did because she said, we've got it worse off than you. No. The human race has it bad. She made it about, we've got it worse than men. Her over there.
Mm-hmm. You're actually pointing over there.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I do want to ask you, after hearing what I've just told you, and that there is in fact a reasonable cause for concern relating to this within the UK, how do you feel?
I'm very disappointed.
Because you're wrong, or just because you're sad it's happening in the UK?
I'm very disappointed in my fellow Brits.
Hmm.
That you're going to chemicals now. That's chemical warfare, like. Right. If they did that in a world war, it's frowned upon.
The thing is, right, I didn't do this episode out of spite.
Sounds like it.
I honestly didn't, right? So we were just, this is in a conversation, we're just, I don't know how it came up.
Hmm.
But, you know, like I said, it's becoming a bigger issue in the UK. And you're like, no, it's not. Ireland's way worse. Rah, 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 rah. I was like, well, fucking calm down. Then I came across a case and I already had one saved that I wanted to cover. Both were acid attacks. So I was like, right, well, let's do an episode kind of around the topic itself.
Yeah.
When I actually looked into it and realised just how concerning it is in the UK, I was like, oh, Neil's not going to like this.
Yeah, I'm disappointed that, like I just said, and I think that's a fair point. If you were
Ireland's
to use,
not even on the list, by the way. Not even on the list.
Yeah, it wouldn't be. If you were to use chemical warfare in a war, it'd be a war crime. It's seen as like a dirty tactic. You know, like when they do dirty bombs and gas bombs and stuff like that. So I'm disappointed that just Larry from the local boozer is going to get into it with someone at the pub and chuck acid in his face.
But do you now accept what I was saying?
Just punch him.
But do you now accept what I was saying?
Yes.
Thank you. You fought me tooth and nail. So, speaking of the UK, someone who has done wonders for speaking up on the matter is Katie Piper.
Yes, I remember her.
Yeah, now if you're unfamiliar with Katie Piper, she is a model, TV presenter and activist who was attacked in 2008. In March of that year, 24-year-old Katie was sexually assaulted, beaten and left with stab wounds to her arms. The perpetrator of this attack was her boyfriend at the time, Daniel Lynch. Now, Daniel also had a previous conviction for pouring boiling water over a man. So no good.
I think I'd take the acid. I received an acid attack.
Go on.
So this is when I was an apprentice at a garage and we had a recycle like container outside what was for car batteries. And you'd have to put the lid on. But a lot of people would leave the lid off and it'd get filled with rainwater, but it'd mix with the battery acid. And I was carrying two batteries because I was hench. I was like 16 and I could carry two car batteries. It might have been three stacked, you know.
It was actually 15.
And I got to it and the lid was already off and I dropped the batteries in and the water splashed up. Now, this was heavily, heavily diluted down battery acid and it splashed me in the eyes. I thought I was going blind. Like, they rushed me to hospital and they did all these drops and shit and flushes. And I'm fine, I can see. But that's one of the most that's one of the most painful experiences I've ever had. But yeah, so am I a victim of an acid attack because...
At the hands of yourself?
Well, no. Negligence of someone leaving the lid off. So someone might have set me up a day before, been like... He's going to be dropping batteries in there tomorrow, so I'll leave the lid off.
Very, very calculated attack.
Yeah.
Mm.
We're very cunning people in the UK.
I've heard. Anyway, back to Katie. The attack took place within a hotel room. Daniel held Katie in the room for about 8 hours before allowing her to leave. She was treated for her injuries in the hospital, but was too frightened to report Daniel to the police. 2 days following the attack, while walking down the street, Katie had sulfuric acid thrown into her face. She described the feeling of the acid hitting her as, quote, indescribable, unique, torturous pain. This attack left her with severe permanent scarring to her face, neck, chest, arm and hands, and also caused her to lose sight in one eye. Katie had also swallowed some of the acid during the attack, which caused further damage to her throat. She underwent surgery to repair the damage that was caused to her face. The reconstruction involved using a skin substitute and skin which had been grafted from her back. Quote, they removed my entire face and, I guess, put it in a medical waste bin.
That's a fucking grim, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
I tell you what, though, it is amazing what they can do with, like, skin cells. Like, getting the skin cells to attach.
Mm-hmm.
You can just take it from somewhere else on your body as long as it's the same DNA.
Well, do you remember the septic penis?
Oh, yeah. How did I not know this about Billy Piper?
Katie Piper.
Who's Katie Piper?
Katie Piper is the woman we're talking about.
I remember Billy Piper. I don't remember Katie Piper.
No.
Okay. I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about Billy Piper.
No, it's not Billy. It's Katie.
Are they related?
I do not believe so, no.
Okay.
Following the procedure, Katie, not Billy, wore a transparent pressure mask 23 hours a day in order to reduce scarring.
Oh, and then leave it off for an hour to breathe.
I would assume so.
Let air to it, yeah. Why is that funny? It's the same if you've got a cut and you put a plaster on it.
Yeah.
You'll take the plaster off and let air get to it, let it breathe a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you reapply.
Yeah.
Where am I wrong here? I don't understand what's going on.
It's something about your accent, the way you say shit sometimes. It just makes me laugh. I don't know what it is. Leave to breathe a bit, yeah.
Oh. Fucking bully.
That what you mean? Yeah, natural gas. Yeah. That's what I'm getting from you. In 2009, Stefan Sylvester, the man who Daniel had gotten to attack Katie with the acid, was sentenced to life with a minimum of 6 years to be served. Daniel Lynch was sentenced to life with a minimum of 16 years for the rape and inciting Stefan to commit the acid attack. In 2018, Stefan was released. The parole board said that he had, quote, displayed empathy and, quote, expressed remorse and shame for his actions. Meanwhile, Katie had to undergo over 250 operations to improve physical functions, including her breathing, and continues to undergo procedures to prevent scar tissue in her throat from closing entirely.
That's disgusting, isn't it?
Yep. Now, I remember watching the documentary about her experience following the attack when it came out. Did you watch it?
I don't know who she is, so no.
How do you not, as a Brit, how do you not know who Katie Piper is?
She's again, not, like, I thought you were talking about Billy Piper.
Listen, though, for a sec. So she brought this documentary out. This was, I think it came out in 2009.
So it
was quite a while. Like, yeah, it was quite a while, though.
18, 19. I was very busy.
Good documentary from what I remember. Like I said, I watched it when it came out, so it was years ago now.
I was probably out when that came on the telly.
Out?
I was probably out that night.
You were out by then?
Well, yeah, because back then,
mm-hmm.
Right, for our listeners who are younger than...
You were out and proud.
What? What?
What?
No, right. So for our younger listeners, if we have many, back then, if something was on the telly, it wasn't, oh, well, I can watch that anytime. You had then or an hour later, depending on what channel, to watch it, and that was it.
No, but I mean, they did rerun it.
It'd be like years later.
I'm just making the point that I haven't watched it since.
Mm.
I watched it back then. I'm asking, did you watch it? You said, no, we don't even know who she is.
I was probably out.
My point being, she brought that documentary out about her experience. She wasn't really known before that.
Right.
So she was a model before that, but she wasn't like a household name.
Right.
After that, you know how the Brits like to do?
Yeah.
And they put, you know, the same people on rotation on different shows, different reality shows,
Yeah.
Katie Piper's become one of those people that she's just all over British television.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you remember a show called Hotel GB? They got like celebrities to run a hotel. That was quite a few years ago now.
No.
Actually. Oh. Okay, well, she was on that as well. Not really relevant. I'm just making the point.
Okay.
But yeah. I saw actually, when I was looking her up, she's recently done, or it's coming out soon, she's done a show where she's talking to inmates in, I think, Louisiana. So maybe we'll watch that.
What connection has she got to inmates?
I don't think she does. I think it's, or maybe it's because of her learning more about the legal system, the prison system.
Right.
You know, but she's a presenter. Okay. So I assume they just hired her for the gig. I don't know. We'll watch it and find out.
Yeah.
We like a prison show.
We do. Yeah, it might be to get more of an understanding of why that bastard's out.
Possibly. But for anyone that's interested, the documentary is called Katie, My Beautiful Face. Like I previously mentioned, Katie has been very vocal about her experience, and she went on to establish the Katie Piper Foundation to raise awareness and aid those who've experienced attacks of this nature. So good woman, Katie.
Yeah.
Now, let's take a look at a few other cases.
All going to be Britain.
No, no.
Okay.
No. Only one.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not going to like completely paint you out to be the bad guys. Well, the first one I'm going to talk about now is in the UK. But after that...
Oh.
But just the one.
Okay.
The others aren't, don't worry.
Better not be Sheffield.
It's not.
Manchester.
Do you want to place your bet now? Because I bet you won't get it.
Right, I'll pick three.
Mm-hmm.
My first choice is... Don't say yes or no until I've done all three. Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
Birmingham.
Right.
And then I'll go in easy. Can I say London or do you need...
No, you can say London.
London.
You'd be wrong. So I said, you're not going to get it. You're guessing the obvious ones.
I was gonna...
That's quite insulting to those cities, but...
Kent!
Mark van Dongen was a 29-year-old engineer originally from the Netherlands. He lived in Bristol with his then-girlfriend, 49-year-old Berlina Wallace. Bristol,
Bristol.
Neil, you would have never guessed
Bristol,
that.
Bristol, no.
In August of 2015, the relationship between Berlina and Mark broke down, and Mark began seeing someone else. By the way, I've heard her name pronounced a couple of different ways, so if I'm saying Berlina or Berlina, I apologise. It's
We'll know who you're talking about.
You know who I'm on about, yeah. The following month, Berlina purchased a 1 litre bottle of sulfuric acid on Amazon. The same day that she had bought the acid, records show that Mark had actually contacted the police to say that Berlina had been harassing him and his new girlfriend. For this, the police phoned her and simply cautioned her.
On the phone?
Yes.
Okay. That's the police presence for you in the UK?
On the 22nd of September 2015, Mark had gone to Berlina's flat and ended up staying the night. In the early hours of the following morning, Mark wakes up to the sound of Berlina laughing. She was then said to have uttered the words, quote, "If I can't have you, no one can."
Ugh.
This was before throwing a glass full of sulfuric acid into Mark's face and over his body. Berlina had planned out this attack. She researched the type of acid she was going to use and the damage it can cause. She was also found to have looked into a newspaper article about a man who was alleged to have tricked his girlfriend into drinking acid.
Fucking hell. How do you trick someone into drinking acid?
I do not know. I the fact that it was said, you know, alleged, I don't know if they uncovered his plan to do this.
Okay.
And he never actually followed through, you know. She later told detectives that it was Mark who was the abusive one in the relationship and that it was also Mark who had filled the glass full of acid. Quote, "Yeah, he did, you know, because he said to me it was water. Here, I've got water for you, you know, like come and take your medication and go to bed. He wanted me to burn my... I can't. He wanted me to burn my insides. Can you imagine?" That's what she is saying to these officers.
Sounds like Vicky Pollard. Yeah, but no, but...
Honestly, she's so frantic. She's like, but he was like, you know, he said it like this, you know what I mean? It's kind of like...
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, no, we don't know what you mean. Now, given that she had placed the acid into a glass and the article which she had previously read, I do wonder, was she initially planning on trying to get Mark to ingest the acid, or while speaking to detectives, did she just take straight from what she had previously read? You know, about saying Mark was getting to the water.
Yeah.
It's a bit fucking dodgy. Following the attack, 25% of Mark's body surface had become burned. His face and parts of his body were severely scarred, with a lot of the skin having to be surgically removed. He was paralysed from the neck down. He lost sight in his left eye and most of the vision in his right. And his left leg also had to be amputated.
Fucking hell.
When he arrived at the hospital, and Mark saw the extent of his injuries, he was reported to have screamed and said, quote, "Kill me now. If my face is going to be left looking like this, I don't want to live." He spent over a year in hospital, the first 4 months of which were spent in a coma. Mark was able to regain his speech, but he also fell into a deep depression. Mark would need lifelong care following this attack. He was no longer able to feed, bathe, or use the bathroom by himself. And because of this, he would often become abusive and angry towards the staff as a result of his frustration.
Understandable.
On the 22nd of November, 2016, Mark was transferred to a care home in Gloucester. But he couldn't bear it. Nearly immediately, he called his father, who lived in Belgium, asking him to come back. When his father arrived at the care home, he could hear screaming. When he entered the building and made his way to his son, he found Mark covered in his own feces, and he was completely distraught. After this, his family made the decision to hire a private ambulance to transport him to Belgium, where he was able to apply for euthanasia. After examination by three consultants in Belgium, they concluded that Mark's case was one of, quote, "unbearable physical and psychological suffering despite maximum medical support," and that under Belgian law, Mark met the criteria for euthanasia. On the 2nd of January, 2017, Mark's life was ended. Quote, "At 7:15 p.m, doctors checked that he was absolutely sure and all the laws had been followed. A doctor came, they inserted a catheter into his heart. That was the end of my son."
Oh, sad.
It's devastating.
What happened to her? How much did she get?
Well, during the trial, the judge described Berliner's actions as premeditated, sadistic, malicious, and callous. She described Berliner herself as manipulative, controlling, and dangerous.
Couldn't put it better than myself.
Quote, "Your intent was to burn, disfigure, and disable Mark van Dongen so that he would not be attractive to any other woman. It was an act of pure evil." During the trial, as she did with the investigators, it was stated that Berliner tried to take the blame off of herself and instead tried to say that Mark was abusive towards her. Of course, this defence didn't land. Quote, "You chose your moment for the attack. It occurred when Mark van Dongen was wearing only boxer shorts, was asleep in the bed which you had shared in your flat. Vulnerable, almost naked. He awoke but had no real opportunity to avoid the focus of your acid attack, namely his face and body." Now, there was a question over whether Berliner should have been convicted of murder, but the defence argued that it was the doctors who ended his life, not Berliner. In the end, Berliner was cleared of murder, but was sentenced to a minimum of 12 years for the attack itself. Mark's father said of her sentence, quote, "I'm very pleased that she is going to be locked up for 12 years, but really, this is too little, as we as a family have been sentenced to life. I hope she messes up and doesn't ever come out of prison again. There are only losers in this case. This has completely ruined our lives, financially and as a family. Our home has fallen apart. I hope we can start to pick up the pieces and rebuild."
Yeah, I think this might sound harsh, but I think minimum 20 years.
Yeah, minimum.
Yeah. I think not just with acid attacks, with, you know, obviously, they're trying to clamp down on murders and making it life and death penalties and all this. But I think how it should be as an overall is any crime, up it. You know, the risk, the gain to the risk, that's why there's so many fucking crimes. Because, you know, it's like something like a burglary. Yeah? First offence, nothing. Literally nothing. It just goes on your record. So, you know, someone's just going to be like, "Well, I'll break in. If I get caught, If I don't get caught, I'm walking out with all these TVs and shit. But if I get caught,
I don't think that's true.
What? Burglary?
Yeah.
I've known
you
loads.
You just get away with it.
I've known loads. You're not getting away with it.
You just said you don't get any sentence for it. So no. I mean, essentially, if you don't reoffend.
I've known loads of twackers who've never set foot in a jail cell.
Were they of age? Do you know what I mean? Or were they juvenile?
Oh, probably juvenile.
That's kind of my point. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I do agree with you, though, when it comes to particularly violent crimes.
Hmm.
Let's not really take the chance there.
Yeah. Essentially, we need to get rid of like 60% of men.
That low. Right. Next case.
Okay.
Would you like to guess the location?
Puerto Rico.
India.
I said you're not going to, it'd be too obvious if you did India or Pakistan.
Well, I just did the UK.
Yeah, but that was after you told me you weren't doing one in the UK.
I didn't say I wasn't.
You fucking...
I said they're not all going to be the UK. You fucking... In 2003, Sonali Mukherjee was 18 years of age. She was studying sociology at the Dumbad Women's College in India. And she was also a cadet in the National Cadet Corps, which is basically the youth wing of the Indian Armed Forces. Around March of that year, Sonali had been getting harassed by a group of men. She said of their behaviour, quote, "When it increased, I decided to protest. I had a lot of guts then. I was part of the NCC and was a senior sergeant. I told them to stop troubling me or I will complain to the police." Sonali also told her father about them and the harassment she was experiencing, and he decided to confront their families. On the 22nd of April in 2003, Sonali had acid thrown on her by these men as she slept in her home next to her sister. The attack caused the skin on her face, neck, chest and lower half her torso to melt away. She lost sight, and as the acid had also reached her right eardrum, it had caused hearing impairment.
Fucking hell. Like, it's dangerous, this acid stuff, isn't it?
Yes. Just
no,
a tad.
No, I know that sounded dumb. No, but like, it's very severe.
Yes.
Like, it works its way through your fucking, longer it's on you.
Mm-hmm. It literally eats away, melts, it just fucking destroys what it comes in contact with.
Like, it's like something out of fucking Alien or Resident Evil sort of thing.
I mean, usually for an episode, when we post on social media, to accompany like the announcement of the latest episode.
Yeah.
And it's quite often, someone who'd been the victim of the attack or the perpetrator of the attack.
Yeah.
So with this one, maybe we'll post some pictures to demonstrate the damage acid can do. So in Mark's case, there's pictures of the bed and the acid, there's just these like black patches of where the acid is. And you can see that it's just worn away the material.
Burning
just,
through it, yeah.
Yeah, just to give an example of, like you said, the damage it can do.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned, Sonali's sister had been laid in bed with her when she was attacked. So her sister had also suffered injuries, but the damage was mainly affecting her hands and feet. Skin from Sonali's thighs would later be grafted onto her face to help reconstruct her nose and cheeks. When she spoke of the aftermath of her attack, she said, quote, "I would scream in pain and fall unconscious. I was like this for 6 months. I would tell God to kill me." The men who had attacked Sonali were enraged that she had rejected their advances towards her. They told her that she was ignorant and that she needed to be taught a lesson.
That's insane.
By the way, I say men, but according to reports, one of the guys was actually a juvenile, another was 18, and one was in his 40s. One of them was also married, so I'll assume it's the 40-odd-year-old. But in your 40s, hanging around with kids.
I was just about to say, so who did she reject? All of them?
They were all harassing her. It was said that they would kind of like follow her down the street, be saying stuff to her. It was, that type of fucking shit. Bastards.
Mm.
For their crimes, the men, again, use the term men loosely, were sentenced to 9 years in prison. They appealed the decision and were granted bail after serving just 3 years. And I believe the youngest was let off as he was a juvenile.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
That's... nah. We thought the UK and Ireland was bad.
Well, I'm really going to kick you in the bollocks now. Her family used what money they had to go towards surgery to repair the damage which had been caused during the attack. This included them selling land and personal items. Now, understandably, this was incredibly difficult for Sonali to cope with. She said, quote, "I felt hopeless and helpless. I didn't want to live anymore. The conditions for my treatment were very difficult. I want justice, or allow me to end my life." And Sonali did appeal to the government to apply for euthanasia, but not long after her appeal, help started to materialise.
See, any of the perpetrators, any of their families' welfare, could they have turned to them and gone, "Oi, pay for that"?
Why would they?
Because they were found guilty of the crime.
So they were also let go. They appealed the decision.
But I mean, before it was appealed, it should have been part of the sentence. Like, you're only serving...
Oh, you think the judge should have imposed that?
Yeah, you're only serving 8 years. You should be doing fucking life for that. So 8 years plus all medical expenses. Top of the range. Why is that funny?
Top of the range.
Well, you don't want some fucking back alley surgeon.
No, obviously
fucking
not.
Fucking with his Black and Decker.
She's been through enough.
Yeah.
Black and Decker. Why don't you start petitioning for that then? Try and get the ball rolling.
What, and that been a
law
a mandatory? Yeah.
Yeah. You work on that.
How do I do that?
Figure it out. As your father always told you, figure it out.
Yeah.
So, like I said, help started to materialise for Sonali. And she said, quote, "I started getting phone calls and messages. A lot of people came to help. Now I feel there is some hope. I don't want to die anymore."
Oh, that's nice. So community saved her then.
Well, this is it. It's wonderful that Sonali was able to receive some help and give her a different perspective. But there's still the massive financial burden which goes along with further reconstructive surgery and any continued treatment which is needed. So, in 2012, Sonali appeared on India's version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire in hopes of funding her surgery.
Okay.
She won 2.5 million rupees, which is just shy of 24,000 euro or nearly 28,000 USD. Allegedly, I don't trust currency converters.
Yeah.
Getting a few different exchange rates there. After her appearance on the show, Sonali said, quote, "I've had 22 operations so far, and I need many more. When I recover, I want to help people like me. I want to talk to foundations to help other victims of acid attacks, but I have to get better first." Sonali said that she also hopes to go back to school. She said, quote, "I was really close to graduating before the attack. Now I have a dream of going back to university and getting a degree."
Good on her.
I know, good woman. I couldn't find any more recent updates on her, but she's doing all right.
Yeah.
Good fucking woman. She's
strong.
She's kind of going the Katy Piper way. She's really wanting to fucking get out there. And especially in India where, again, like we said at the start of the episode, these attacks are more prevalent.
Yeah.
For the woman to kind of be like, you know what, fuck this. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to try and make a change.
Do you know
what? Folks.
It's also showing that, you know, for a woman, it's not all her looks. That's not everything she's got.
What?
Oh, is that bad?
What do you mean?
Well, you said at the start of this episode...
Is that you saying that?
No. You said... You said at the start of this episode that it used to be done to women to disfigure them because of them getting by on the looks.
No, I didn't quite say that.
You fucking did.
I didn't say women are getting by on their looks.
Right. If you're listening and this has been all edited and everything, rewind to the beginning of the episode. You said...
I think I said emphasis is placed on...
Right, just using words appearance. I don't know what they mean. That isn't fair to try and confuse me.
Okay.
You're essentially saying that they were getting by on the looks.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that look, a lot of importance is placed on their looks, particularly by men.
Yeah.
A lot of men place a woman's worth in her appearance.
Right, so what I'm saying
and
is...
And men for that matter. as well. I'm not saying it's easier for a man to be fucking disfigured. I'm saying it's fucking horrific for anyone, but women in particular are held that bit higher.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But what I'm saying is that, you know, women like her are proven to them misogynistic men. Yeah, I know that word.
Mm, well done. that the misogyny's real.
That she's proven, but she isn't just getting by on the looks.
Well, she wasn't before.
I'm not saying, no. Look, I'm saying she's showing that she's got more to her than her looks.
Yeah.
You're not going to stop me.
Yeah.
I'm bigging her up. Like,
no, I know. But I'm just saying, before she was in college, she was studying. She was also a cadet.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was doing the damn thing. Next case.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we going, Neil?
Pakistan.
No.
You fucking, like... I swear to God, if this is Colombia or fucking Puerto Rico, I'm going to go with a different flavour.
Mm-hmm.
Japan.
Turkey.
Oh, okay. I've always wanted to go to Turkey because I hear they've got good coffee. Don't want it in my face.
No, not so much.
The kebabs.
You want that in your face.
Right. So there's somewhere in Leeds. If I could remember, you know, for any listeners in Leeds or Wakefield area.
Sorry to interrupt you already.
Okay.
But it just annoys me that we're talking about turkey kebabs and you're like, there's a place in Leeds.
No. But this is linked.
Okay.
Because it were Turks and it was a proper Turkish restaurant. It's somewhere in Leeds. It's you'd go past it to get to the Leeds football stadium. So it's a proper Turkish restaurant, but they'd have like a little room on the side of it and it was for takeaway only. Their kebabs, best I've ever had. So fucking good.
Mm.
Hopefully it's still there. And I'm not just getting people's hopes up that they drive out to it and find, you know, it's a fruit and veg shop.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how it's linked to Leeds.
I beg your pardon. I've never had like proper Turkish food. I've only had like, you know, shitty imitation.
It's like proper juicy lamb and the chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to pop over to Leeds for a weekend and just suss out that
restaurant? No, I'll never go to Leeds again for the rest of my life.
Not even for the kebab?
No.
Mm. Anyway, Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
On the 15th of January 2019, 19-year-old Berfin Ozek was walking home from classes in Iskenderun when her ex-boyfriend, Kasim Ozan, threw acid into her face.
19?
19-year-old girl.
Fucking hell.
The acid was believed to have been sulfuric acid and caused the skin on her face to melt, and she also lost sight in her right eye. Following the attack, Berfin spent 4 months in hospital and was expected to spend the next year and a half undergoing 5 cosmetic surgeries to repair the damage caused to her skin. Kasim was arrested and charged with attempted murder. As the trial got underway, the prosecutor stated that there was, quote, no intent to kill, and it was requested that he instead be sentenced for intentional injury. Ultimately, Kasim was sentenced to 13 years and 6 months for intentional injury. Berfin said of the sentence, quote, is the punishment, which is too short, commensurate with my suffering?
Commensurate?
Commensurate.
What's that?
Basically, does it measure up? Does it equate what she's gone through?
Okay. Never heard that word in my life.
I hadn't until this case. She also stated, quote, I suffered so much. My eyes couldn't see. I couldn't eat. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't even speak. I won't give up on this case. Can they give me back my former beauty? No. My eyes are gone. I can't see. One eye sees only 30%. I see blurry. I can't read books. I can't see things far away. I don't deserve this. This isn't my face. This is the face of our society's shame.
So going back to his sentence,
mm-hmm.
Who are they to say, I don't think it was intentional of murder?
Mm-hmm.
Go for the worst fucking thing. The bastard threw acid in her face.
Yeah. I mean, right.
Acid can kill. If I'm you throw an acid in someone's face.
Exactly. If I'm going to really break it down, I mean, like, look at it from the point of view of prosecution and defense.
Mm.
and you're arguing both sides. Bear in mind, this was the prosecution who argued this.
Yeah.
But if I was the defense arguing for the person, I can understand why they'd say, well, his intent was to disfigure. It's not good. Yeah. But his intent was to disfigure, not to kill.
Hmm.
I'm not quite sure why the prosecution were arguing it, but that's, you know, whatever. And like you made the point, you could have killed her if she had ingested enough of it or what have you, or throwing it in her fucking face.
Yeah, like...
It could have killed her.
Say if it was a... same thing. It's a woman, well, in this case, fucking...
Or, sorry, infection after the fact.
Yeah. Say with this, so it's not even woman, girl. Girls broke up with fella. He goes round to her house with a gun, but he never fires a bullet. I think still prosecute attempted murder. You were going round with a gun, an intent to use. Like, this is even worse. He actually threw the acid in her face.
You mean by the fact that he showed up to her house with the gun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they're arguing this. You know, go for the worst thing.
Yeah, I mean, well, we kind of talked about, you know, a similar thing previously with the premeditation.
Hmm.
You know, we were kind of arguing back and forth. Not arguing, we were agreeing. But the argument was put forth of when is it premeditation? So obviously if someone's planned it from the day before, week before, month, whatever. Mm. Yes, premeditation. But if you get off a bus and start following someone 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
How much of that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can be considered.
Yeah.
When does it become premeditated?
Mm.
But that's neither here nor there. Back to Burfin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the 8th of April, 2020, Burfin decided to withdraw her complaint against Kasim. She dismissed her lawyers and submitted a petition to the High Courts. She said, quote, I love Ozan. I want to marry him. That's why I'm withdrawing my complaint.
She got back with him?
Yeah.
What?
Hmm.
Ah, no, there's something going on there.
Following this, the women's rights organisation called Iskenderun Women's Platform, who had previously provided support for Burfin, released a statement. Quote, as the Iskenderun's Women's Platform, we have been following and will continue to follow many cases involving women and children since our establishment. While violence against women has reached an unacceptable level, we declare that we will never allow our struggle to be hindered. In the Burfin Ozek case, which you have all followed closely, we have provided all kinds of support from the very first day and have been in solidarity with many women's organisations. It is publicly known that we have been working tirelessly to ensure Burfin receives treatment and can pursue her dreams, never leaving her alone and standing by her side in every situation. However, after Burfin informed us that she was withdrawing her complaint of her own free will, and despite us informing her of the legal and health consequences of forgiving him, she insisted on this decision. Since this contradicts our motto of, we don't want love that kills, we will no longer participate in any work related to Burfin Ozek from this point forward.
Do you think this could be, like, linked to biscophilia?
What?
You know...
Hebristophilia.
Yeah. What did I... Biscophilia?
I think so, yeah.
Do you think it could be that sort of thing? Or do you think she feels like she's got nothing?
Look, I don't know what she's going through. It certainly did cross my mind that she feels, you know, because of the injury she sustained, is she just going to stay with him? I don't know. And, you know, obviously, she should not be with this man. That goes without saying. I don't know what made her make her decision, and I don't want to be too harsh on her. I worry for her.
Yeah.
But I do think it's also a bit of a gut punch for those who helped her. You know, because there was a struggle to get the state to pay for her surgeries, and this was because they were classed as cosmetic.
Mm.
The Iskenderun Women's Platform raised awareness and appealed for financial support for her. Now, I do believe the state did go on to cover the costs of her surgeries as they were caused by a violent attack.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of time and resources, I'm sure, went into helping her, and I can certainly understand their frustration.
I can understand the frustration, but, you know, like you said, you still fear for her safety.
Yeah, of course. That's the number one here.
It's turning the back on her. I don't fully agree with that.
They can't.
But what can they do?
Yeah, it's just bad all around.
Yeah.
You know, I'm you feel for this girl and you worry for her and what can potentially happen after this, but they also have to protect the other women,
yeah,
and children, whoever else they're helping. And
you've got to also remember how young and naive she's probably.
Well, I mean, the fact that their motto is "we don't want love that kills," they clearly deal with a lot of cases of domestic abuse.
Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, that was a look at acid attacks and the absolutely horrific and devastating damage that they can cause.
Well, yeah, you don't have to be a smarty pants to know that acid can do damage.
No, but you did learn something from this episode.
What did I learn?
That it is an issue in the UK. Stop downplaying it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, stop it, Britain. Like,
sick of it.
I've never heard of it in the UK. And I'm sorry about the Katie Piper thing, calling her Billy, but I've never heard of Katie Piper. I've only heard of Billy.
I can't believe you haven't. How are you from the UK and you haven't heard of her?
I've no idea.
I bet you have. I'll show you a picture of her later. I guarantee you recognise her.
I've already looked her up. I don't recognise her.
Oh my, I was about to say, I'm not even going to say that because the amount of times I go, guarantee it, and you're like, having a clue.
No.
I really need to stop being confident in your memory.
Do I need to see her before? Oh no, because you said she got more famous after, didn't you?
Yeah.
She was just a model before. She's a TV presenter after.
Yeah, no, I don't know if she'd ever done TV before, but definitely after that and how public she was speaking.
Mm.
Yeah, she's definitely more, I would say in the UK, more of a household name now.
Yeah, it is, like that last one. I weren't expecting that she got back with him.
Really shocking. And like I said, it's sad. It's bad all around.
Yeah.
You know, you don't really want to kind of dig into it too much because it's not for us to say any more than obviously we don't think she should be with him.
Yeah.
But again, that goes without saying.
Well, yeah.
I've said it twice now and it goes without saying.
So, oddity.
Anto and the lads, a wild night out.
Okay.
In 2014, a 24-year-old lad named Anthony went out drinking with his friends when they decided to head to the cemetery for a game of footy. Because sure, don't we all?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've done this.
Yeah.
Have you actually?
Yeah, because so the cemetery what was near...
You don't even like football.
I used to play football when I was a lad.
Okay.
So, the cemetery near where I used to live, there was two headstones and it was like the perfect distance for a goal net.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Goalposts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's how much I'm into football. So would play there.
Oh, is that the end of the story?
Yeah. What more do you want?
It's very abrupt. Do you know sometimes when I'm ending a case, like this one, I feel like it's a little bit abrupt. I feel like I'm leaving you there. You know, you're waiting for more. And I'm like, trying to make whatever. You just stop dead at a sentence and be like, that's your lot. What do you want from me?
You asked me if I've done it and I said, yeah.
Yeah.
And you asked why, so I told you.
Well, anyway, unfortunately... The lad's behaviour while in the graveyard caused a bit of distress. Would you like to know what activity Anthony decided to engage in after his game of football?
Headstone tipping.
No. It was a bit of the old role play. It seems Anthony had watched one too many episodes of Scooby-Doo and was running around the cemetery pretending to be a ghost. Quote, the witnesses reported the group engaging in rowdy behaviour and one of them throwing their arms in the air and saying, ooh. That was a witness statement.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh. It's making me think. It's making me think more of Father Ted.
Yeah,
that's like, what I was. Ooh.
Yeah, with sheep.
But like, again, it's the witness giving the statement. He then threw his hands in the air and he said, ooh, ooh, can you imagine? Now, for his ghoulish behaviour, Anthony pleaded guilty to using threatening or abusive words or behaviour likely to cause distress.
Yeah, but do you know what my issue is with this? Right? So kids watch Scooby-Doo, but kids also have an imagination.
This fella was 24.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, fuck him. Yeah. What's he doing?
Anthony was fined £35, ordered to pay £20 victim surcharge and £20 in costs. An additional 3 months were added to a conditional charge for a previous case of harassment. Anthony had also been charged with criminal damage to gravestones, but this was later dismissed. I don't fucking understand why that was dismissed. Surely that's the worst part of what he did.
But probably can't prove it.
The other charge just makes him a bit of a fucking gobshite.
Yeah.
But if he did attempt or did cause damage to a gravestone, that's a dick move.
Yeah, yeah. Nah.
Or was it a case like he was kicking the ball against, which don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
But did he kick a ball against it and they're like, you damaged it?
Yeah. But if a ball knocks over an headstone, it's the headstone's fault. Well, not the headstone's fault. It's not the ball's fault. A ball should not knock over a headstone.
It's much more a case of disrespect, which,
yeah,
you know, it's not.
Yeah,
damage.
You have parks.
Financially speaking, like, it's not.
If you want to kick a ball about, especially in UK, like.
Who are you to fucking speak on this?
What?
Who are you to speak on this? You've just told me you used to do this.
Yeah, but I didn't blast the ball at the fucking headstones.
You tell me you never kicked the ball at a headstone?
I never missed.
A headstone?
No, the net. Not like you lot over here. Like, so sometimes me and Megan will go for a walk in the local area and you'll see in like a cul-de-sac that the kids will have a football net. But it's one of them. I don't care how many pegs you put in that fucker. If the ball hits it, it's going down.
Mm.
The
you couldn't hang from them, like.
No,
like
the fucking back shit. Day. Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
So he was Ned Stone.
Is that like a PSA for the episode?
Don't know what that means, but yes.
Public service announcement.
Oh.
You're saying, don't buy goalposts, use headstones.
You can use the headstones, just don't be disrespectful.
No, don't! Don't play football in the cemetery.
Well, if you're not hurting anyone.
No, but it's not for that. You're gonna walk in there to try and visit your nan-nan. Yeah?
Yeah.
And there's some little shit, 24-year-old Anthony.
Yeah.
Is there kicking a ball against her head?
Yeah, but like her head. But like you have pointed out very fucking aggressively, the people don't own that. It's leased.
Yes.
So.
No, but it's a respect thing, don't you think?
You don't know him.
What?
You're not going to do it against your own relatives, Ed Stewart.
Right. This is something that annoys me now.
Oh.
Right? No, because people got respect is earned. No. Fuck that. You give everyone respect. It can be taken away. But generally speaking, you should be respecting everyone.
No, but the way I see it is no one's getting hurt, right? As long as you're not doing it while the relatives, while the dead
As long as you do it behind their back.
Well, it's not behind the back. It's just choose wisely when to do it.
Yeah, don't get caught slipping.
You're only playing a game. You're not hurting anyone.
Did you not just say you can go play it in a park? And now you're defending it.
Yeah, but from my previous experience, mm-hmm. I did play football in the park and I got chased by a German Shepherd and got my ass nipped. Snipped.
I also hate it if I go to a park and there's kids kicking a ball about because I'm scared I'm going to get hit with it.
Don't go to the park then.
I don't. I don't. So I should be able to chill in the cemetery.
What I'm saying is, look, it's not really... conventional to play football in a cemetery, but if you're not hurting anyone and you're not doing any harm, then I don't see a problem with it. But if you start vandalizing fucking headstones and flowers and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
then no, absolutely not. Kneecap them. You can't play football again, is what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're for or against it? Where are you actually finally landing?
It depends who's doing it, what their intentions are. If they're just going to, like us,
we... No, 24-year-old Anthony and his pissed up mates.
Oh, no, I don't know why a 24... Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm still thinking of a child.
Yeah.
Thinking of children. I forgot about that. Yeah, 24, no. Get out of the cemetery. Unless you're putting flowers down or going to see your nan's grave.
Put down and piss off.
Put down and piss off.